I grew up in a small town in North Dakota. And we always celebrated a Christmas Eve service and then to go home and open the presents. I grew up thinking that was quite normal until I moved and found out that people said, "You open your Christmas presents on Christmas Eve?" And I was like, "Doesn't everybody?" And I found out, no. And it was interesting, I really never thought about the reason for that. I figured it was my dad and mom's tradition and we'd carried it on. And there was an exchange student from Germany here. And many of you maybe know I am of German background. As I can say in German, mein Vater hat better Deutsch than English gesprochen. Which is, my father spoke better German than English. And I asked the young lady, Tamia, I said, "I'm curious, in Germany, when do you open your presents?" She goes, "Of course, on Christmas Eve." So my family had carried that tradition over. The whole German community had carried that tradition over as they had migrated to the United States. And a mystery for me was solved. And it was funny and interesting to find that fact out, because I always look forward to the Christmas Eve program. We go home, we have our sausages and smoked cheeses and cider and hot cocoa, and we open our presents. And then us parents can sleep in. So every year I look forward to this Christmas Eve service. And I look forward to the story of the Nativity as it was read to us. The Nativity is often questioned. Was it a literal event? How did it happen? And I'd say to many points we don't know, but I would use a fancy word. A Nativity, as we see it, oftentimes around cities and communities, sometimes acted out, is what is called a metonymy. It is a word or phrase that is used to describe a concept of numerous pieces working together, considered as a whole. For example, numerous metonymies: Wall Street, Silicon Valley, Hollywood, the White House. The White House doesn't speak. There's not just one person. Is it the chief of staff? Is it the president's wife? Well, it's this group that works out of the White House. Hollywood. Well, it's in LA, but who is Hollywood? Well, it's all the different pieces that make movies that come together. And it's the same with the Nativity. The term represents a concept or entities that all come together and we all readily understand. The different parts come together and tell us the story of the birth of our Christ. The wonders of his birth, the beauty and glory of it, and the hope it brings. But there's questions about it. The shepherds. How many shepherds were there? Who were shepherds? And something that might come as a surprise maybe to us, but shepherds were often more of the lowly society. And they maybe even were, contrary to the pictures you see of older men, probably the kids. It was probably put off to the least important in the family, young girls and young boys. These shepherds might have been mere teenagers and even younger. And these wise men or magi, who were they? Wizards, seers, sages, astrologers, priests, mystical scholars. Probably all of that combined. And why three? Well, we don't really know if there was three. We base that on simply the number of gifts. And how far? Where did they come from? Where east? And we use the word Orient in our song. I grew up assuming as a kid they came from China, like most products do in the United States, but probably most likely from Babylon. And why? How did they know? It makes sense to say it comes from the hand of Daniel. In the 500s, the Jewish people were carried off into captivity, carried off to Babylon. And Daniel was considered a wise man among them. He was highly esteemed by God and the people. He was a teacher who lived his whole age there in exile, but had such influence. The knowledge he had of Scripture was most likely passed on to these wise men or magi or priests. And they knew the signs to look for. And where was this Nativity taking place? As the picture shows, like a little portico. Was it a cave? Was it a stable? Most likely what it was There was no inn. There were no guest rooms found. Everybody's house was full. The spare bedroom was full. The side bedroom was full. The upstairs bedroom was full. So Mary and Joseph had nowhere to go. But in these old ancient houses from the first century, they had a kitchen and front porch area where some of the smaller animals were kept. Yes, their views of personal hygiene and cookery were quite different than ours. And so there would be a stable in that kitchen front porch area. And so there was no room, no guest rooms left. And so they stayed in this front room with the animals. And then when did all these events happen? Did the shepherds show up at the same time? Were the magi there? We don't know. The word for child could mean a baby. It could mean a two-year-old. But we put them all together in the story to show everything that happened. And this magical moving star. Well, their word for star could be anything, a comet or a meteor. And was it a meteor or maybe a comet that was divinely guided by the hand of God? What is a certain arrangement of the planets? Some every 800 years, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter in the constellation Pisces line up. Was it a supernova? Or was it an angel leading the way? Until we walk in eternity, and maybe even then, we will never know. But it guided the way. And all these events come together. They're beautiful and very important and tell the story. So, not to get lost in the arguments of a specific layout, because it's something we'll probably never understand, yet it's the reality of the birth of Christ and the humility into which the King of Kings came into this world. It echoes back to Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice, with righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. And then from Micah 5, 2. But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient of times. Micah 5, 2. So the Nativity gives us the hope of his birth. It resonates and vibrates throughout time as we place our hope in Christ. Not based on mere circumstance, rather based on the hope of Emmanuel. God is with us. The mystery of Christ incarnate. And we look back, but we also look forward today for his return. Well, he will right all wrongs. We look at the story and we think of its beauty and its peaceful setting. But there are things that we must look at when we look back. The birth of Christ in a war is the opening salvo to the Empire of Rome. In fact, to all kingdoms on this earth and in the heavens. It is declaring the true, final, and ultimate king is here and will return. Rome called their emperors sons of the divine, falling towards apotheos, meaning they would become gods and they're dead. Then the Magi came and they said, they're looking for the king of the Jews. Herod would not hear this and simply think, oh, competition. No, it would be considered an outright threat to his rule. And a threat that must be crushed. And whereas Caesar Augustus was hailed as a divine savior for all of Rome, Christ is the light of the world, revealed by an inspired star, leading to his humble birth. Rome brought what was called in Latin the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. But I dare say this peace of Rome was brought through bloodshed, tears, wars, the marching of armies crushing those who are less powerful. Christ brings a new heaven and new earth, revealed in the final book of the New Testament, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whereas Rome had a king or an emperor who was literally a dictator and had absolute power, Christ too will have absolute power. But he is a shepherd and a king. Jesus himself speaks of his own authority and of his own grace and benevolence. He says in Matthew, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11, 29 through 30. So as we finish the year with military unease in numerous parts of the world, many speaking of the de-churching of the church in the United States while it is flourishing in other countries, we see a moral decline that we thought in the 70s, maybe in the 60s, things were in decline, and now we'd wish for those times. Is there relief in sight? Or is there more war and economic turmoil ahead? What is next? And so then the question is, regardless of what is next, where is our hope? I could say consensus seems that the next year, 2026, will probably carry over much of what 2025 had. Maybe it will be better. Maybe it will be unforeseen turmoil. I don't know. But I know where my hope is. And I know where we are called to place our hope. In the one who does know. The one who brings true peace and true joy. Who tells us, as we look back to the first advent of Christ, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." The first advent of Christ. And so the birth of Christ rings true tonight and even moving forward. It was an opening salvo or barrage of the coming king. Rome was now challenged. In a way, the Jewish nation nor the Roman people could comprehend. In the same way, our own culture and society are challenged today. All earthly rulers, all powers shall bow and say, "Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords." But God's timing is not ours. The full realization of the kingdom of heaven is yet to come. And God's timing is not ours. And so, in the Advent season, now with the Christmas Eve, the lighting of the Christ candle, we look back to the birth of Christ, the serenity and the peace of the Nativity, not always realizing the outright challenge to the earthly and heavenly kingdoms that might stand against him. It also points forward to his second advent of our King, as spoken in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 22. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I, Jesus, will return soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen and amen.